Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Infibeam Avenues Limited Q4 and FY25 conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Rutuja. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Infibeam Avenues Limited earnings call to discuss the Q4 and FY25 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Vishal Mehta, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Vishwas Patel, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Sunil Bhagat, Chief Financial Officer. Also joining us on the call today is Mr. B. Ravi, who's advising Infibeam on corporate and financial strategy as an independent consultant. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I now request Mr. Vishal Mehta to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajat. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm thrilled to welcome you to Infibeam Avenues Q4 and FY25 earnings call. It's a milestone moment as we close the year of an extraordinary transformation, and we look ahead to an even more ambitious future. FY25 has been a defining year of transformation for Infibeam Avenues. It was not just a year of growth. It was a year where we redefined who we are. We evolved from being a digital payments company into a multi-vertical technology powerhouse operating at the intersection of fintech, artificial intelligence, and digital infrastructure. I'm happy to announce that we have achieved our financial guidance for the year. We have delivered a robust growth across all our key metrics. Our consolidated gross revenue for FY25 stood at 3,993 crores, reflecting a significant increase from the previous year. Our net revenue reached 526 crores, and our profit after tax surged to 210 crores, marking a 42% year-over-year growth. We are strengthening our capital base for future growth. To fuel our ambitious growth plans, our board has approved up to 700 crores of rights issue. This capital infusion will accelerate our strategic initiative, including: one, RediffPay, we are rolling out to our customer-facing digital payments platform. Second is Infibeam Quantum Edge, expanding our AI and data center infrastructure. And third is international expansion, scaling our payments infrastructure in key markets. The rights issue will underscore our commitment to inclusive value creation, allowing our existing shareholders to participate meaningfully in our next phase of growth. We are happy to announce that we've redefined our brand identity. We have unveiled a new logo and a brand identity that encapsulates our vision to lead at the confluence of fintech, AI, and digital infrastructure. The dynamic ribbon-like design, infused with vibrant hues, symbolizes agility, innovation, and digital connectivity. The distinctive dot on the I in Infibeam represents our India-first philosophy, reaffirming our dedication to nation development through homegrown digital infrastructure and technology innovation. We have revolutionized payment, merchant payments with CCAvenue Soundbox. Our CCAvenue Soundbox has gained significant traction among retailers across India. This device offers dynamic QR generation, tap-to-pay features, omnichannel integration, and compatibility with ERPs and social commerce platforms. In Q4, we onboarded about 50,000 new merchants, bringing our total merchant base to over 1.2 million. We are empowering consumers with RediffPay. Our subsidiary company, Rediff.com India Limited, has been granted a third-party application provider license, which is called the TPAP license by NPCI, for our digital payments platform, RediffPay. This license enables us to offer UPI services, marking our formal entry into the consumer-facing digital payment sector. RediffPay is not just about payments. It's a gateway to a broader digital financial services ecosystem, including credit, insurance, and wealth management solutions. We are also introducing Rediff One for SMBs, which is small and medium businesses. Rediff One, which is our cloud-based enterprise suite for small businesses and merchants, integrates ERP, CRM, HRMS tools for our payments platform providing a comprehensive digital operating system for India's underserved small and medium businesses segment. We are scaling internationally in the GCC region. Our expansion in Saudi Arabia is well underway. We have gone live with key clients such as VFS Global, Nissan and Infinity. We are also in active conversations with other large enterprise accounts. Our PTSP license from SAMA and locally hosted infrastructure provides us regulatory readiness and operational scalability. We anticipate international revenues to comprise about 20 to 25% of our top line over the next couple of years. We have pioneered agentic AI with Phronetic.ai. Under our dedicated AI division, Phronetic.ai, we are developing a groundbreaking global marketplace for artificial intelligence agents. This platform will enable developers, enterprises, and everyday users to build, buy, sell, and operate autonomous AI agents without writing a single line of code. We believe agentic AI is the next major technology shift, and we are positioning ourselves at the forefront of this transformation. We are launching InfiBeam Quantum Edge. Our Quantum Edge initiative involves deploying small-scale distributed data centers, starting with a 2-megawatt unit. These centers will host our AI frameworks and support real-time computing use cases. With an expected ROI under 24 months, we already have demand visibility for upcoming locations. In summary, we are building a future-ready ecosystem. As India progresses towards the 3.5 trillion digital payments economy by 2029, and with cloud infrastructure demand surging, our integrated approach of fintech, AI, and cloud positions us uniquely to lead and innovate. Our strategy focuses on building enduring platforms with scale, stickiness, and superior economics over time. Thank you all for your continued support. I will now hand over the call to Vishwas Patel to walk us through payments business and operational highlights for the quarter. Vishwas, all yours.
Thanks, Vishal, and good afternoon to everyone on the call. Q4 FY25 was nothing short of exhilarating for our payments business. Despite intense competition in the Indian digital payment space, Infibeam Avenues powered ahead, innovating relentlessly, scaling faster, and strengthening our presence across both Indian and the Middle Eastern markets. The CC Avenue Smart Soundbox has been launched to disrupt merchant payments. So let's start with one of the biggest success story for us this year, the CC Avenue Smart Soundbox. This isn't just a QR code speaker or a full-blown, it's a full-blown fintech device. Dynamic QR, tap-to-pay, cards, NFC, audio transaction alerts in multiple languages, all directly integrated with our CC Avenue merchant accounting and reposting platform. In essence, the people who are just using a bland speaker box today are graduating to accept all kinds of payments through our CC Avenue Smart Soundbox. So what's exciting is that the adoption is surging, you know, across tier 2 and 3 cities where merchants are hungry for simple and powerful tools that consolidated multiple payment options in one sleek device. And since the lines between the online and offline are blurring, and it's an omni-channel solution, so today we have aggressively onboarded over 1,10,000 new merchants in this Q4 alone, taking a total merchant base to 1.2 million. We are adding thousands of merchants daily, and our focus in India's long-tail MSME is unlocking immense value and volume. Smartphones as card machines. So we have introduced CC Avenue TapPay. It's a bold step towards democratizing payments. TapPay within our mobile app. So from now, any Android phone has become a contactless card terminal. No additional hardware required. This is game changing and for micro entrepreneurs and gig workers, offering them a frictionless, low-cost path to digital acceptance of all kind of payment options, be it UPI or cards. So using CC Avenue online payments, we are powering conversions globally. Online CC Avenue remains a high-performing engine, constantly evolving. In Q4, we integrated Google Pay, and for our Gulf operations, we have added Tabby and Tamara buy now, pay later options in that market, meeting the region's rising demand for flexible payments. These additions are driving higher checkout success rates and boosting merchant sales. CC Avenue is India's the leading digital debit processor. So we continue to lead as India's largest direct debit processors With the onboarding of Bechin Catholic Cooperative Bank, we now support direct debit through over 60+ banks, a testament to our deep-rooted banking relationship, as well as our innovation to connect to direct core banking solutions of so many banks. CCAvenue GCC expansion, you know, Saudi market taking off. So our international strategy is gaining serious momentum. In Saudi Arabia, we are now live with marquee clients like VFS Global, Nissan, Infinity Motors, and it's backed by a SAMA, that the Saudi Arabia Monetary Authority approved PTSP license and fully local infrastructure. This is just about big names. It's about recurring volume that we are building and a merchant pipeline in sectors like aviation, e-commerce and government is rapidly growing in that region. Saudi Arabia, UAE and Oman are now our core growth territories. We are investing aggressively to win them. We had a record merchant acquisition as explained earlier. It's a multi-sector expansion. In Q4 FY25, we added 1,10,000 merchants. And for the full year, we grossed 4,20,000 new merchant onboardings. That is up 35% compared to financial year 24. So from hospitality to business, healthcare to logistics to real estate to MSMEs, our omnichannel strategy, blending online, offline and billing continues to resonate. And especially with the unserved small and mid-sized businesses. Our Bill Avenue solution is targeting digital utility payments and deep rural penetration. Our Bill Avenue platform processed over 12 crore transactions in FY25, with the volume climbing steadily in Q4. What remarkable is the growing agent activity in rural and semi-urban areas, a reflection of our platform's simplicity and massive bill coverage. We are making digital utility payments truly universal. Our ResAvenue solution is empowering hospitality with AI. In hospitality tech, ResAvenue is picking up pace, integrated AI-based revenue optimization tools that helps hotels fine-tune pricing and maximize occupancy. Our transaction volumes in this vertical rose by over 28% year-on-year, and we are working closely with hotel chains to expand the rollout of smart pricing features. So in summary, we are building an intelligent, scalable payments ecosystem, and at the heart of it is an unwavering strategy, omni-channeled, AI-enhanced, infrastructure-backed fintech solutions that grow with the merchants. Whether it's hardware like Soundbox or a mobile features like CCAvenue TapPay or enterprise tools like a CCAvenue Mars or a B2Biz solutions, we are creating a payment stack that is future ready and deeply embedded in the India and GCC digital fabric. And as Vishal said, while we are front-loading investments in AI, Rediff and cloud infrastructure, these are strategic long-term bets that will create strong defensible moat around our businesses. With that, I'll now hand it over to our CFO, Sunil Bhagat, who will take you through the financial performance of the quarter. Over to you, Sunil Bhai.
Thank you, Vishwa sir, and good evening to everyone. I am pleased to share the financial highlights for the fourth quarter and full year FY25. In quarter four, we delivered solid double-digit growth in both gross and net revenue, which is supported by a balanced mix of gross and net revenue, and both recorded healthy growth on a year-over-year basis. Our expansion in online and offline payment volumes, deeper penetration across MSMEs, and rapid merchant onboarding were the key contributors. Our net take rate continues to trend upward, reflecting stronger monetization, favorable merchant mix, and effective pricing strategies across our platforms. This improvement directly fuels our growth in net revenue and operating profitability, making our growth not just faster but smarter. For quarter four, our gross revenue saw an impressive growth, increasing from rupees 716 crore in quarter four FY24 to 1160 crore in quarter four FY25, reflecting a strong upward trajectory. Our net revenue also showed a notable year-over-year increase of 28%, rising from 105 crore to 135 crore in this quarter. Our net take rate continued its upward trajectory, improving significantly year over year from 9.2 basis points in quarter 4 FY24 to 10.6 basis points in quarter 4 FY25. This steady enhancement in take rate has been a key contributor to the growth in our net revenue, operating profitability and bottom line performance. Our EBITDA for the quarter saw a growth of 25%, reaching to 78 crore in quarter 4 FY25, which is up from 62 crore in the same period last year, with our EBITDA margin of 58% as a percentage of net revenue. Our profit after tax stood at 50 crore in quarter 4 FY25, which is reflecting a 53% year-over-year increase. If we consider the full financial year 25, our gross revenue show an impressive growth, increasing from 3,150 crore to 3,993 crore in FY25, which is reflecting 27% increase. Our full year net revenue also showed a year-over-year increase of 25%, rising from 419 crore to 526 crore. Our full-year EBITDA also saw a growth of 23%, reaching to 312 crore in FY25 as against 254 crore in last year. Our annual profit after tax stood at 210 crore in FY25, reflecting 42% year-over-year growth. Though the revenue from Saudi Arabia is only starting to show up in this quarter's numbers, we anticipate a meaningful uplift in FY26 as large clients like VFS Globals and Nissan and others can ramp up volumes. With local infrastructure in place and compliance secured, we are poised for accelerated growth in the region. We have maintained a strong cash-rich balance sheet with prudent capital management. As we prepare for FY26, we are finalizing plans to strategically invest in expanding our data center infrastructure under the Infibeam Quantum Edge initiative, a move that will enhance our AI capabilities and long-term cost advantages. In closing, FY25 was a year of building momentum and laying a scalable foundation. And as we step into FY26, we remain focused on expanding our merchant base across India as well as GCC, accelerating monetization through AI-powered platforms, strengthening recurring revenue streams across verticals. We are committed to profitable growth and long-term value creation, not just for today's market, but for the digital economy of tomorrow. With that, I would like to hand over the call to moderator for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Now, my first question was regarding the Infibeam Quantum Edge and Tronautics AI. What is the pricing model, subscription and consumption base? Or is it bundled with a fintech service? Where do you see the biggest early monetization opportunities?
Sure, this is Vishal. I'll take this. See, basically, if you recollect, a few quarters ago, we decided to build out VLLM models, which is video large language models. And that particular opportunity was catered towards two basic areas. One is hospitality and gas stations, where AI is not just able to identify an object, but AI can actually identify a scene and identify even activities within the scene. A typical example of this would be that in a gas station, if there is a video LLM model sitting with CCTV cameras, then it can not just identify which vehicle has come, it can also perhaps get information from dispensation data on gas stations or how much fuel has been filled, and it can perhaps work with wallets to be able to take the money out of the wallet without actually a requirement for a QR code or any other card type. Similarly, in hospitals also, it was perhaps used to monitor certain patients, critical care patients, more with visual representations, and specifically in areas where you would perhaps have one hospital agent caring over multiple patients, specifically in ICUs. So that was the basic use case, and it was an enterprise solution. That enterprise solution, we were able to secure more than $1 million contract. You know, it was good, but we thought that that was not, it was still an enterprise scale, enterprise sale, which means that we had to spend an effort. Fortunately, we did apply for a patent there, and we were able to apply for the patent in USPTO. So the monetization model was an enterprise sale model, which was sitting on top of existing infrastructure with no reason or no requirement to change any hardware, which means the existing hardware, whatever disks, whatever hardware has been utilized, no changes in any hardware. And using a screen share, we will be able to pick up all this information, and that is what our patent application was. So the big differentiator there we made was that you don't need to have any hardware, dedicated hardware, or change in hardware, specifically even in, you know, practically any DRM or anything that you choose. Beyond that, we started working on an agentic AI framework. An agentic AI framework is more around, you know, being able to have agents monitor rather than humans monitoring specific activities. And that is where we think the larger opportunity lies, because if you build agentic AI capability positions, Infibeam is not just a fintech company, but an AI-first fintech infrastructure provider. Something that very few in India, or in fact in certain cases, Middle East and many other geographies are doing at scale. So the model there is a business, there is an enterprise model and a consumer model. Developer, it's a developer platform, so developers can develop their own agent, and then they can deploy the agent for their own use cases or somebody else's use cases. And you know, if you look at, you know, online, there is an enterprise pricing model which will come. It's in beta; it's rolled out in beta. So there is an enterprise pricing model, and then there's consumer model. Consumer model is, you know, for a certain number of queries, it's free, beyond which the consumer starts paying for it.
Okay. So can you throw some more light on the AI agenting? As in, will that be a model which will be available to everyone? Or as you said, that it will be available for the consumers only for a fixed number of queries?
For free, yes. So which means that, you know, for a certain number of queries for the consumer, developer will own the model. Which means that it's a developer platform. If you are a software developer, or even if you are not a software developer, if you can actually deploy, install and deploy the model practically in a matter of a few clicks. A few of the models have been deployed on Rediff, agents.rediff.com. So in other words, you can think of it as every skill of a human being is actually an agent. You can think of it as an SEO agent, a legal agent, everything is an agent. And theoretically, we believe that that is the way the world is going towards. So what we have done is, we have not, rather than creating agents, we have created a developer platform where developers can create agents. And even if you are not a developer, you will be able to build your own agent. You can try it out as well, as of today. It's in beta. But you can build out your own agent, and then, of course, upon approval, once it's approved, it will go into a marketplace, which is the Rediff marketplace. It can be implemented in any marketplace, practically speaking, as long as we are integrated into that marketplace.
So who will be having this agent? Will it be a property of Rediff, or will it be a property of the developer?
Developer will own the property. Rediff is a publisher. So in other words, when consumers start paying for that service, that is when typical marketplace does get revenues out of that. So in other words, the agent is the property of the developer and the developer platform.
Right. Which is, so how does Rediff monetize this?
When the consumer starts paying beyond a certain queries, or if an enterprise wants the agent to be able to summarize emails, or because Rediff is a large enterprise client and they've got thousands of companies, and if the agent is deployed within the email client for an enterprise to do many more activities, including device management and others, that's when Rediff gets paid.
Okay. So it's not possible that a developer develops his own agent and takes it out of Rediff. That is
no,
not,
they can do that, but there is different commercials for that. So the developer platform has to work, developer platform will work with the developer to enable that.
Okay. So there will be
so
a number
Phronetic in
platform.
This case, Phronetic in this case will work with the developer to enable it.
Phronetic. Okay. Great. And do you envision a B2B, B2C embedded financial model through your merchant base offering credit to end users or vendors or merchants on your platforms? What is the infrastructure which will be required to support this?
If the question is that are we enabling credit using our merchant base, is that the question? Or
yes, yes. And what infrastructure will be required for that?
See, I will tell you, you know, what we do today is express settlement. So we do early settlements on payments. That is as far as it goes because we did more than $1 billion. We had zero NPA in that, which means that a merchant, rather than getting paid after 3 days, they get paid the same day. That has been enabled. What we have not done is extended loans and credits and others to merchants because that model today in India, the way it exists is a DSA model where you earn commission as a provider. We do not have any aspiration to build our own NBFC. And we think that the DSA model is an interesting model, but it's not the one that we want to bet on. So what we think is that using Rediff as a consumer framework, we will enable a lot of services, financial services, both to businesses as well as consumers. And, you know, access to that will, because we have millions of merchants, we build out an ecosystem using that. So we'll be announcing quite a few things along with Rediff Pay shortly. We have NPCI license, the TPAP license through NPCI. And we think that maybe in the next few weeks, you know, pending approvals from on the application and security, we'll be able to roll out and we'll be able to communicate a lot more.
Okay. So are we also looking at something like UPI credit? I mean, UPI is just, everybody is offering UPI, but UPI credit, wherein, you know, a customer can get a credit over his UPI payment. You know, that is really gaining momentum. So, I mean, will that be an opportunity we should be looking at?
Vishwas here. Okay. So, UPI on credit, there will be various people who will be offering credit looking at the UPI. So, we as aggregator on the CCI Avenue payments platform, we will be integrating or we'll be allowing credit on UPI. And there's a commercial model coming in with every transaction that comes in. So credit on UPI, there are some MDR and there's some money comes on to us. So we have to enable it as a payment option across our merchant network. In a sense that today, where we have enabled UPI across a million plus merchants, there we'll allow not only Rupee on UPI, Rupee credit card on UPI, but even this credit on UPI, which the other third party people are in. So we are going to act as an aggregator to one on this. Whether starting our own credit business on UPI, allowing it on our books, right now there is no immediate strategy in this quarter or the next.
Okay, great. Now my question, my last question actually was regarding the fundraise plan which we are trying to do. One was that, you know, we already have good cash amount in our books. So why this funded? Are we building a war chest for future acquisitions or something you know, big in rigor or any other thing? And secondly, then why, if you're doing this, why rights issue? Because you will be issuing the rights issue at a discount over the current market price, which will again increase the dilution.
Yeah, so this is Vishal here. See, we think that, you know, building, you know, AI capability, you know, positions Infibeam in a very different, you know, setup. You're right, we do have cash position. But we believe that if you want to be meaningful and relevant for the future, as well as build out AI-first fintech, you know, infrastructure, something very few people are getting it into, you know, and we've seen early success in that. So what we are not doing, I'll tell you, is we're not building LLMs. We are not building large language models. Something that, you know, Sovereign and others want to do, as well as large companies like, OpenAI and others, they want to participate in our cloud, we are not building LLMs. What we will be doing is working on agentic AI and reasoning models. Reasoning models that sit on top that potentially are the input to the AI agents. And that is where we find that there's hopefully a lot more interest and monetization associated with. And for that, we will build out our infrastructure. So we believe that, we will be investing in CAPEX. There will be a CAPEX cycle. We'll invest about $100 million in the next 3 years in building out such capabilities. And partially it will come from rights and partially through accruals. And we believe that, that is the only way we can build out an ecosystem which is autonomous, intelligent, decision-making. It will require certain, these things will be required in building out global fintech adaptability that we are building out, and it will scale our productivity and automation. So all of these are critical for our ambitions to become somewhat a global powered fintech setup. And we think that building out this, quote unquote, what you said, war chest will help us get there. So as you know, in the past also, we have been appropriately conservative. We think that there's a lot of opportunity in front of us, and partially if you're not an AI-first company, you won't survive in the next few years. With this thesis, we think we're not saying we're right or wrong. This is just our philosophy, and we think that this is the right time to get invested into a CAPEX cycle to build it out.
Yeah. Okay, and no, so we are not building any data centers. We won't need any data centers for ourselves, right?
We already have a 2 MW data center. For building out reasoning models, you'll need, infra. You will need, certain, investments in infra. Either you can lease it or you can build it. So depending upon that, we build out 2 MW, we'll build out more as and when, depending upon, because see, these models and agents, they'll want certain use cases are such that they want real time. And they will sit on top of an LLM. An LLM can potentially be replaced in the back end. Either you can use an OpenAI or you can use O3 or you can use any other, even the one that has been recently built out by Sarvam. So, in other words, you can essentially, this sits on top of it, and it essentially enables, because the data is owned by the reasoning models and not, the LLMs in some ways, to drive inferences. Okay. And agents automate the workflow, they also make it more predictive, because that is the one which gives you productivity. It automates whatever workflow that you want to work on, it'll automate it for you. And so this is not just automation, it is more predictability along with automation, which is what we want to get into. And like you mentioned, for payments and others, of course, we are going to deploy it for our own use cases. Because if you think about it, you would want, in some ways, agentic AI to automate fraud detection, manage risk, authenticate users, adapt new threats without any constant human intervention that we'd require right now. It somewhat helps reduce our operating cost. Whether you think about merchants, it can power certain personalized recommendation, dynamic pricing. We have 10 million plus merchants, cross-border becomes more interesting. You can automate certain tasks like handling compliance, localization, languages. It gives us a strategic edge over traditional processors. And when we think about Rediff as an ecosystem, it also gives us an opportunity to serve agents as virtual assistants. It will proactively manage data, transform productivity. It becomes somewhat proactive than reactive. And you essentially drive a continuous learning curve across the entire ecosystem. So we believe it's a strategic differentiator, both in the short and long term.
Okay. So Phronetics AI will not only do financials, but also into different other aspects also, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All agents will go across. Even you can think there's an SEO agent right here. So search engine optimization is an agent.
Right. So then, wouldn't it make, a strategic sense to actually, disinvest the company into two things? One is into payments, that is the CC Avenue part, and the other is into the AI, which is going to be the hardcore AI. Will it make sense?
It's a good question, something that we debate on all the time, but I think the answer is very clear. AI is actually a horizontal layer. It is not specific layer for a particular, so you can think of any, we can see a world where even a single agent can be a $1 billion agent. If you ask me, maybe in 3 to 5 years, there is one agent which is so good at doing what they're doing that potentially it is used by everyone. And so we don't think that, you know, AI is as much of a vertical, because most of the AI models, general AI models, become more and more smarter and better, so the vertical AI kind of vanishes. And in certain cases, to reduce infra costs and so on and so forth, you'll have to build out RAGs to be able to make them slightly more optimal and somewhat more interesting. But we don't think that that is a verticalized approach. That would not work. It's a horizontal layer. It's not a vertical layer.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sachedi. May we request you to please rejoin the queue? We have other participants waiting for the turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations to the management for a good set of results. My first question was, as we are targeting a 20 to 25% revenue from our international operations over 2 years, what proportion of this is expected from high volume, low margin business and versus our high margin value added service?
Aman, a lot of it we think will come from, at least this year, will come from high volume, low margin. Fortunately, in international, the margins, low margins itself is slightly higher than our margins here in India. So in other words, the take rate over there international is almost 2 times more of what we get in India. Now, even if we go with, you know, high volume and low margins, we expect that there'll be a drop in the take rate internationally, because when we add large clients, we would work with lower margins. The good thing in this is that we are also expanding across smaller merchants in that geography through by ways of aggregation as well as through indirect channels. So, you know, we believe that there'll be some compromise in terms of margins, but it'll still be higher than what we make in India.
Okay, sir. And next was, a follow-up. With Saudi Arabia, that is, ramping up its, you know, in terms of enterprise clients like Nissan and VFS going live, what is the expected payback period for this international infrastructure investment there? And how do we compare the margins versus our domestic operations?
The second part of the question is margins are, a factor of magnitude, at least 2x of what we see in India in the international business. That's one. But you also will appreciate that there is going to be competition, and we are aware of the fact that there will be more and more companies who would want to participate in terms of growth in the Middle East, specifically in Saudi Arabia. But it's also a regulated market, much like India, and there is regulatory authority, SAMA, which is very particular about who they allow and who they don't. In fact, we took more than a few quarters to even go live because we have 100% subsidiary there. We have a SAGIA license. We don't have any partner. We are one of very few companies who have it. So I think that is one part. What was the other question that you asked? Can you remind me?
Expected payback period for this investment?
We think the payback is, we don't want to be super aggressive, but anywhere between 1 to 3 years. We think that if we are able to, we've spent quite a bit of capital on localization, there will be more and more wall gardening that we call about for each country, because they want to keep data internally and they want to make sure that their financial systems are not compromised, and we have to continuously upgrade on both regulatory and compliance related activities. But the payback, given that we have built out scale in India and that we have been in this domain for more than a decade, we think that, you know, and because we have so many clients in India, many of them, they also have presence in the Middle East and in Saudi. So for them to go after the low-lying fruit for us is very easy. If they trust us in India, they can also trust us in Saudi. So I think the payback won't be more than 3 years.
Okay, sir. I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Grishma Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Couple of quick questions from my side. I want to understand Rediff business model a little better and, what are our monetization strategy across various verticals, including Rediff?
Yeah, so this is Vishal here. I will talk about Rediff Enterprise, and then I'll tell Vishwas to speak about Rediff Pay. Rediff, as you perhaps know, it's been around for more than two decades. And we picked up 54% majority stake in Rediff last year, sometimes in September and October of last year. From the outside, you would see Rediff as being a top 1,000 traffic site in the world. Rediff has not made it much, blitz in advertising. There's practically zero spent on marketing for the last 3 years, at least. And so, in some ways, but still, it continues to be top 1,000 traffic site in the world and top 100 in the country. Number two, they have enterprise email business. So Rediff sends about 500 million emails every day. When you talk about enterprise email, much like you have Outlook and Google as enterprise clients, so in your company, you would use either a Google client or an Outlook client for managing your company enterprise emails. Rediff is providing enterprise emails for more than a few thousand companies. In fact, between Rediff Pro and Rediff Enterprise, there are more than 20,000 companies using Rediff mail client. And each of them, they pay a certain amount per box, per mailbox. And so in some ways, it's scaled up because it's managing 500 million emails every day. And then there are 175 million registered email users who are consumers on Rediff, out of which 75 million have not come to Rediff for 10 years, which means that they are somewhat, not active. And if you look at daily active on Rediff, there are about 7 million. So 7 million people come to Rediff every single day out of the rest of the 75 million. So our objective there is that, in terms of revenue streams, there is email subscriptions that is being paid by enterprises, and then there is ad sales, advertising sales. And those are the two business opportunities that we want to go after. Can we provide, because we believe that much like in payments, there is data localization. Similarly, in emails also, there will perhaps be an opportunity to do data, or there may be certain mandates because GDPR guidelines are there, but more DPDP guidelines are also there. So there will be an opportunity to make sure that there is going to be localization of data. Today, if you are using Google client, your data is on Google Cloud. And if you are using Outlook, it is on Azure Cloud. Both of them are international companies, which means that email is not encrypted. Your email is visible to anyone who's a regulator. And with macroeconomics the way it is, we believe data localization will come in emails also, which means that anyone and everyone, and Rediff is one of the, perhaps the only one, or one of the one, two, or three companies that has a track record with data localization for so many years. So we think that that's one opportunity. Ad sales is another one. So as we increase traffic and relevance, we will be able to monetize on those ads. And you're talking about, even today the ad revenue is more than $1 million. Okay. So we think that that is a opportunity to go after. As far as Rediff Pay is concerned, I'll tell Vishwas to talk about Rediff Pay. Vishwas, go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks, Vishal. So look, Rediff Pay, since Vishal just mentioned the number of users, active users that are there on the platform, right? So Rediff Pay is our strategy. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So Rediff Pay is our strategy. Is our strategy to go directly to the consumers and onboard them on multiple things to get them in the ecosystem. So we are already very strong on the B2B. On the merchant perspective, we have lots of things in payments and platforms and other things that we have. The whole ecosystem with the merchants is there. The whole ecosystem with the banks is there. Now, the whole ecosystem with the consumers is the play that we are getting with RediffPay. So RediffPay will onboard merchants through our TPAP license through IMPCI to get their UPI ID mapped. But that is the first part. When every transaction the consumer does using that, so if they are paying through or mapping it through their RuPay card or CC on UPay or credit on UPI, there is interchange and there's money that is coming in from the other side, right? So there is a transaction-based revenue that keeps coming in. So that's the first part. Now, through our BBPS license in Infibeam Avenues of Bharat Bill Payment Systems, we have already started. If you upgraded the latest one, we already started with mobile prepaid recharge. There are like 1 billion prepaid SIM cards in the country doing an average of 1.1 billion recharge transactions every month, right? For recharging, only 5% is postpaid, 95% is prepaid. So those transactions and those volumes will be processing through it. Any utility, any bill payments, any credit card dues, all those have already started, and you will see a bigger achievement, transaction volume scaling up very quickly, and people also using mapping their bank accounts to create that Rediff UPI ID also. So cross-selling is one of the key part where, you know, we want to put the entire ecosystem where they have their own email. Because if you've seen from 1999 till now, 2025, where we are today, email has not changed. Everything else, the whole technology stays, but you still have your email ID, right, which is there, and you still need it for everything. So Rediff is one of the core, and under the DPIIT Act, and now if you have seen the data protection, that bill very clearly states data localization and other things for audit for within the Indian law enforcement authorities. So there, Rediff already has a good track record with thousands of companies using it, and half a billion email going out. So then merge it with the UPI and the cross-selling of all our other services, which is just the start. Many other monetization things will also happen, and you're already seeing what's happening in the industry. So money is to be made on every transaction that comes in. And your good part is that we already have a base of consumers, right? And we already have millions of users already there. So that's how the whole monetization of RediffPay will be there in the initial strategies, cross-selling a lot of new things and innovative things that we'll be putting it. With a lot of metro tickets to everything that will, that the entire ecosystem that can happen. So that's just first initial strategy. That's how the Rediff strategy will evolve in the next 2-3 quarters.
Okay. So maybe by the end of next financial year, this financial year, FY26, is when we will slowly start monetizing the entire Rediff ecosystem. Is that a fair assumption?
The fair assumption to make is that by end of next quarter, we would have started monetizing.
Okay. Okay. And the other thing that I wanted to understand is that, the UPI incentive in the system has, by the government has come off. And the noise around this is that the MDR for large merchants is, coming through. So wanted your views, given that you are part of this entire payment ecosystem and one of the leading fintechs. Wanted your views as to how this entire thing would, shape up for everyone in the industry.
So, frankly, since I chair also the Payments Council of India, we're well aware that it has gone up to the Prime Minister's office to do it for this particular decision. But right now, until it happens, we cannot comment on it. But anyway, since we are one of the largest processors of UPI transactions online as well as now with a soundbox offline also, so any kind of this will significantly add a lot of revenue if it happens.
Okay. And the other question was on the international operations. Since we have, spent, so many quarters to get our compliances in place with SAMA and the other GCC regulators. How do you think our go-to-market approach across these countries? I mean, do we have like a strong head start? How do we look at this?
So in UAE, we are already dominating. We are in the top three and some of the biggest clients there in that market in UAE. We the all the MR, Nakheel, Damac. Even if you want to buy your ticket to go through Emirates, it goes to us. If you want to go visit the Burj Khalifa at the top.ae, it goes to CC Avenue Payment Gateway. Some of the biggest, so we have made a significant inroads into the UAE market. Saudi market, fortunately or unfortunately, due to the regulatory thing, licensing thing, and data localization that they insisted, we had to host the entire primary and our DR systems there within the kingdom. So that's why it got delayed and this thing. But now we are live and transactions are coming in. Significantly less competition there at this moment there. I think we'll scale those things up fast because we've seen a lot of our merchants within the UAE are also present in Saudi, and they're looking forward to, you know, onboarding onto us. So we think that we will be fairly successful in Saudi. And Oman, we have gone through the technical route where we are providing our tech stacks to the leading banks there. So Bank Muscat is live. In fact, it's done significantly well, doing more than a lakh transactions a day with us. That's a Bank Muscat, which is like has 70% of market share of Oman, is working on our stack. And then we have the other three banks following it, Bank Dhofar, Bank Sohar, also working on a platform there. So all the top four banks in Oman are already on a platform through our TSP route, where we make money on every transaction as a technical service provider. So those three are the biggest markets in the UAE. That's a set. And as we have already announced, we'll be going into US and Australia shortly after this. So that's the whole strategy right now.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. And congratulations on a very good set of numbers. I just wanted to, you know, understand your numbers, the basic numbers in a little more granular fashion. So as per the quarterly results filed with the exchange, you have two lines of business, payment business and e-com and platform. So what is this e-com and platform is one question. And on payment business, you report transaction value, gross revenue and net revenue. So if you can explain what are these numbers and how do they relate to each other?
Sure, Tushar. If you look at the notes below, in the notes, the business segments are qualified. In other words, what is included in the platform business and the payment business. So in other words, anything which is in specific, any place where we are providing software frameworks. And that software frameworks, if you look at note 2, of our financial statements.
Yeah, correct.
It will actually, in note 2, you will actually see what has been included in the payments business and the platform business, right? So your first question is that what is included? I think, you know, that is qualified in note 2 of our financial statements. And okay. What was the second question that you had? Sorry.
So, no, within this, so when you say e-commerce platform, you know, in the presentation, there is just one slide, I think, on the e-commerce platform. So do you have license revenue or you have recurring? Because previously, I believe it was GEM, but now GEM, yes. You don't recognize the revenue, right?
Correct. So we don't recognize from December 2023, we've stopped recording it. Although GEM completely runs on our platform. So even as of today.
So what is the revenue here in this platform business? What is the revenue?
So we provide our platform. We are talking about millions of dollars of licensing revenue. So in the past also we had mentioned that we have given our entire framework to very large enterprises. You would see some names over here down. Jio is one of them. You know, internationally we have given it to three companies. One is Saudi Telecom, which is based out of Saudi Arabia. Their entire framework works on us. And we continue providing it to about 7 different companies. So over there, primarily we get licensing revenue. We do have a success fee there as well.
It's a fixed revenue. It's a fixed revenue.
It's a fixed revenue. But there is a success fee on addition to licensing revenue that kicks in sometimes. So in other words, GEM was more transactional revenue. But GEM revenue has been stopped being recognized since December 2023. Okay.
So this is the same kind of platform which was used for GEM.
Correct.
Or is it a
similar? Okay. Similar platform to GEM. Correct. Not the same. Okay. So we are in arbitration with GEM. We're expecting to hear back about You know, I mean, fortunately, we do have legal, you know, position saying that this intellectual property solely belongs to Infibeam Avenues. So that we have from the courts. But we are in arbitration to be able to find out what, as far as the licensing fee is concerned from GEM. So that part we will have hopefully something to share in the next quarter or so.
Okay. So my next question was on the payment side. Sorry, Vishwas, you were saying something.
Tushar, Ravi here. I just was saying that yeah, regard platform, you know, there we have always mentioned the last 2 years, if you see, even when GEM was going out, at that time there were questions as to who could be using this platform. And we had said that we have built a platform for all times to come and we can use it for various clients on just as a small customization. That's exactly what has happened, that though GEM is not there, this platform business continues with not just Jio, which was there at that point in time and growing every day, but also the international and seven other customers, like what Vishal said. So this is monetizing a platform already built in with full infrastructure, which now is being monetized. That's how it is. Yeah, please continue with the next question.
Yeah, my next question was on the payment business. You have, you know, the gross transaction payment process. Then you have gross revenue and you have net revenue, right? So how do these numbers correlate with each other? I understand that in the gross payment that you process, there's a lot of revenue on which you don't earn any, lot of payments on which you don't earn any revenue, right? So I am assuming that only the credit card portion is what you earn revenue on, which is around 68,000 crore for the quarter.
It's credit and debit cards also and corporate cards. So in other words, UPI is
net banking also.
And net banking.
Net banking also, wallets also.
But majority it is credit card, right? I mean, 175 basis point gross you will get on credit card. The others may be very small.
Correct.
No, net That's banking right. is also big. Net banking is also big. Net banking is also big. Credit card is the major one. But net banking also significantly contributes.
So when you say gross revenue, it is all related to payments, is it?
Yeah, so gross revenue, Tushar, if the question is that whatever revenues we report, we segment revenues. If you look at our segmental results, you will have, you know, the gross revenue, which is segmented between payments and commerce. So if you kindly go to the slide, you will see. So gross revenue is a combination, the total gross revenue is a combination of payments and platforms.
But majority it is payment, 1047 crore for the quarter.
That's right.
On a 2.25 lakh crore of payment process.
That's right.
Right?
Tushar, we collect revenue, which is gross, and there are certain expenses for which we have to pass on, which have to be booked before we come to the net revenue. So there is this expense portion which is deducted from that gross to net in terms of passing on certain commission. And then that net revenue becomes the net revenue. After that, all the overheads and all will allow us to get to the EBITDA. That is the flow of the revenue, the income.
No, no, that I understand. I'm just trying to understand the gross revenue concept.
Yeah, gross revenue, so you're spot on. You're spot on.
So it is around 50 basis points. It's 50 correct. Basis points. Correct?
Yeah, certain and UPI transactions we earn zero TDR. Huh? So those
I understand. Yeah.
But on an average, you are.
And then you have a net revenue, which is on a 1050 crore. I believe it's around 80 crore kind of net revenue that you're reporting. If I take your presentation and remove the e-commerce
that's right,
revenue,
77.9. You're right. That's the EBITDA. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I just wanted to get my head cleared on the numbers. And now you mentioned very interesting thing about
net revenue. Net revenue is 135 crores. Sorry, EBITDA is 77.9 crores.
Yeah, 135 minus 51 of e-com.
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
So 84 crore for the payment business.
That's right.
You're right.
Correct? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, then you mentioned very interesting thing about Soundbox, which would be kind of, you know, integrating everything. So
Which means my credit card can go on now on my phone. I don't need to carry it physically. Or is it only for Google or Android operating system?
Let me explain. The Tap Pay is what goes only on the mobile. That comes along with the CC Avenue Merchant Accounting and Reporting System app. Right? So you download the app and through that on your Android phone, you can start accepting it. Soundbox is a physical device. So today you have seen all this QR code with Soundbox devices everywhere on every merchant. But this also does, not only does a static QR, but also does dynamic QR mapped to the amount of the transaction so that when you scan it, you don't have to put the amount. It also accepts credit card, MasterCard, Visa, Rupee, credit and debit, plus EMI and other things also. So it's a way up from a normal just a speaker wala QR code, static QR. This gives within almost very little on the upper side of the typical speaker sound box. So this is a physical device that is deployed.
Okay,
the transactions are reported within the same app.
I understand that, but you said that the credit card can go on the phone, right? So that depends on the phone OS, that you don't have anything to do
yes,
with it.
That
you
is TapPay, the CCMU TapPay, that will go only on the Android, any Android phone.
Okay. With NFC. Okay. Yeah, that's what I wanted to understand.
Yeah.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, hello? Go ahead.
Yeah. So you are trying to do a lot of new things, but your existing business return on equity is 4%, you know. So as a shareholder, how do I reconcile to this, that our existing business earns 4%, whereas the opportunity seems to be massive in front of you. So as a shareholder, how do we look at it?
The way to look into it is, I think, you know, goodwill is artificially depressing our ROE. So there's a big line item called goodwill in our balance sheet, and that is the one which is depressing our ROE for the time being. So if you remove the goodwill, you know, you'll perhaps see that, you know, the ROE is, you know, better than what you are talking about, much better. So that's one. Second is that, we are looking at investing. There will be a capex cycle that we're getting it into, but that's mainly around making it more, you know, AI ready. In other words, all our frameworks and all the things that we've built out, I think it builds automation. It is essentially, I think it's survival for any company to actually get into that space. But of course, opinions may differ. At least the time that we've spent in about last few quarters in terms of building our capabilities, we find that there's significant leverage and advantages that we get if we are moving quickly into this. And it's moving also very fast, that space. So, but to answer your question in the ROE, if you remove the goodwill, it's that's the way to look at it.
Then it will come to 20% plus, I think, because it's almost 2,000 crores.
That's right.
Goodwill. Okay. That's
great.
Okay. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining our FY25 earnings call, and looking forward to keeping you updated on the latest development, and you know, have a good evening.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.